This is the podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, Texelli and Gunselli. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words the podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow the podcast on Twitter as @thepodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Hey, this is Gunselli in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C.
And this is Texelli calling in from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, wow, Toledo. What a nice city, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. Everyone knows it. Okay, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
A little too late to kiss the mud hens up here.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
It's a sports ball team. I know you're not a real big fan.
Thank you. So, it is Thanksgiving weekend, and we were joking. For everyone who showed up to work today, I hope you showed up the way you're supposed to when you're one of the few people in the office. You're supposed to show up in sweatpants and just throw your arms out and go, I'm here, bitches, thank me. Because
I was wearing boxes on my head, but that's normal for a Wednesday for me.
Forget the national holiday. It's just every Wednesday. Thank you for all the few and the proud who showed up to work today, a day before a national holiday. And to all our brave deployed retail workers who are deployed to stores all over the nation, starting as early as tomorrow for Black Friday. Yes, it's Wednesday now, and Black Friday starts on Thanksgiving because, you know, retail holiday workers aren't really people, and they don't really have families. That's what our nation tells people.
I
feel for you.
We need to kind of drop back. I've seen the demographics. So many of our listeners are outside the United States. In the United States, we have a holiday here where we say, we gather around with usually our family, and we just be thankful for all the blessings we do have when we eat a large meal and then feel sick and watch football. Usually at this point, someone in the family says something horrific that's happening in their lives, like, you know, either they're getting a divorce or they decided that they're a furry or something like that, you know. And so it's just kind of a national tradition. And then the next day is used to be the massive sale day because everybody had a day off. You had Thursday off, and then everybody would take Friday off. Businesses, offices, like, everybody was going to take – everybody's off on Thursday. They got to travel to see family anyway. So we're not going to get any work out of them Friday. We'll go ahead and be closed Friday anyway. So it became a big sale day. Well, now it's kind of rippled across the globe. Well, even the UK, they have.
You got to mention it was such a success. It was such a successful sale day that many businesses saw that the Friday after Thanksgiving is a holiday that always lands on a Thursday. So the Friday after Thanksgiving was the first and sometimes only day of the year when their books, their ledgers, would wind up in the black, meaning in positive numbers after sales, which is why it became known as Black Friday.
Well, or the other way around is that it would be the first day of the year where their books would be in the positive for the year, the calendar year. So, in other words, every day after that point, is icing on the cake. You work that year up to that point. The numbers have, of course, when you're dealing with businesses and numbers, it gets fuzzy fast because on paper, the Back to the Future's never made a dime. Accounting is all in who you ask, who's looking, right, when you're asking. So that's the baseline. But, you know, at its core, it's where you're supposed to get together, have a good time with your family and friends if you can't get to your family. You know, that's the basic. Yeah, you get together, have And that's, you know, what it, at its core, every party, every get-together should be, right?
Yes. And I want to throw in a little tagline here. As somebody who's spent years on the res with full-blooded Cherokee, Native Americans, a lot of them, do celebrate Thanksgiving. I have a lot of know-it-all white friends and know-it-all black friends who will state, oh, Native Americans hate Thanksgiving. They never celebrate Thanksgiving. And it's like, who are you talking on behalf of? Because I've lived on the res and would celebrate Thanksgiving every year with the swimmers and the Thompsons, who would have a giant feast every year. I think a lot of people get hung up on different versions of history and different reasons why Thanksgiving was celebrated. I'm sure bad people celebrated Thanksgiving for bad reasons, but good people celebrated Thanksgiving for good reasons. It's a feast that is celebrated with your family, and that's kind of up for interpretation in a lot of ways. I've heard a lot of crazy conspiracy theory level reasons why Thanksgiving is celebrated, and the kind of the funniest, most out there one I've heard is, and I'd like to see if there's literally any scrap of evidence to this, but supposedly Thanksgiving goes all the way back to the Pope versus Turkey, as the country.
I would be stunned, but sure.
I would be just jaw dropped if that had any basis in reality. I got a kick out of that one because it is one of those things where, you can take a holiday as a holiday and just enjoy the day off work, or you can get hung up on what some people are saying about it. If you feel some kind of guilt or rage and solidarity with hypothetical Native Americans, just know that there are real Native Americans eating at the same time you are across America in different tribes and different reservations, because a lot of them just enjoy having a great meal and enjoying time with their family. So just to say that to the people who want to find a reason to boycott everything, maybe just enjoy the turkey.
And my gripe with the whole retail people not getting to enjoy Thanksgiving meal with their families, my gripe is we got cousins who pack it up.
I don't know, man. Wait a minute. He's still around here? I thought he headed out after the Million Man March. He's still around?
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. All right. Well, tell him I said.
Thank you.
All right. Sorry, solicitor. Apparently Farrakhan's still around. That's what I said. It says every Sunday. He's staying around here? Oh wow. Okay.
What my gripe with the sales starting is I got family that has I gotta drive 7 hours to get up to see my family. And I got family that packs up at 4 o'clock and goes and camps out in front of the store. I've driven 7 hours to see you, and you're going to go run to a store so you can save a nickel on something you don't need that my kids don't care about, you know, that your kids don't need. No, nobody needs this crap, you know? I mean, you know, they have, whoa, there's deer. Once again, going to die. I think I was on the phone with you last time I almost got hit by deer. That's been my frustration is don't leave your family to go shopping, okay? If you're home alone, on Thanksgiving, yes, go out to the Black Friday, Black Thursday sales, knife each other in the parking lot. Do whatever you want, all right? Have fun. Interact with people. That's better than sitting at home alone, you know, bored out of your mind, you know, not interacting with people. But if you got family there, if you got family that's traveled by airplane, if you got families traveled by car, it's, you know, don't abandon them just so you can save $30 on a television. And, you know,
somebody just handed me I'm always so confused. Louis Farrakhan, he's one of the best panderers. Like, he says, apparently his group here is saying, ironically, a lot of stuff that we're saying, but he'll add stuff in there that I think anyone who agreed with the prior statements probably wouldn't be able to agree with if they really paid attention. But people don't take things one step at a time. Most of the time, people take a person as a whole and just say, I agree with that person, because they agree with one thing that person says or does. Now, Louis Farrakhan's people are passing out flyers. I literally was just handed one while we were recording that says, you are invited to come in here. The Honorable Louis Minister, it's actually a stand-in here. Student Minister Abdul Qadir Muhammad, the Mid-Atlantic Regional Representative of Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And Louis Farrakhan's picture is the whole thing there. To clarify that this is not an organization that allows individuality. If you are speaking at Muhammad Mosque number 4, you are speaking on behalf of your Supreme Leader. And on the back here is Boycott Black Friday, and you sort of sound like you're agreeing with that, not entirely, but a little bit. And it says up with Jesus, down with Santa, which once again this is supposed to be a Muslim thing, but for some reason it's about Jesus now.
I'll give the guy credit. He knows how to turn a phrase.
Yeah, he can, but that's the thing though. He snookers a whole bunch of Christians into going, oh yeah, I like him. He's a minister. And they don't realize he's not a Christian. And if you listen to his stuff, he's really, really demeaning to black Christians. Like specifically blacks who are Christian, he's super demeaning it to in referring to, yet at different churches, he'll go there and just pander to them, pander the crap out of them. It's insane to watch him manipulate people. And the tagline here is, if our lives don't matter, neither do our dollars. So yes, justice or else, blackout Black Friday, boycott Christmas, and Jeremiah 10:2-4. I don't know if you have a Bible handy. Can you look up those?
I'm driving, so.
Oh, you're driving. Okay.
I can't get that.
I'll have to try to do that. But yes, yeah, it's kind of clever, kind of manipulative. Once again, he's literally, if our lives don't matter, meaning black lives, That's what people need to understand. That's a huge thing right there. This is from a Louis Farrakhan flyer from Muhammad Mosque number 4, and the tagline is, if our lives don't matter, neither do our dollars, meaning black lives. Black lives matter. That whole movement is in response to people like Louis Farrakhan telling black people that black lives don't matter. He's saying that. He's saying our lives don't matter. Now, of course, he's always saying it as if he is a victim of it as well, and he's angry for you, but he's always spreading that to people, saying, the whites, they want you all rounded up and forced into slavery or killed. Your lives don't matter to them. That's what he preaches, that sort of racial segregationism and racial paranoia and racial hatred. If our lives don't matter, neither do our dollars. This is a lot of people go, oh, he's a speaker for civil rights. He's a good guy. And they never really parse the stuff he says. He's speaking on behalf of white people, telling blacks, yes, all white people want to kill you. You can't just say all lives matter. You have to combat the craziness that is saying black people want to round up and kill, or white people want to round up and kill all black people. You need to combat that insanity before you can combat Black Lives Matter. You have to stop it at its foundation, because its foundation is paranoid and schizophrenic in its basis. So, when someone says Black Lives Matter, say, hey, of course Black Lives Matter. No one has said they wanted to kill all black people. That's insane.
Speaking of lives mattering, we've ranted before about how many people Qatar has killed for the World Cup, and Bernie Sanders went on the war path against them. Did you see that?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, apparently they've spent or are in the process of spending up to $200 billion to build stadiums. And they're on schedule to kill about 4,000 people in the process of building the stadiums for the World Cup. And I think it's 2016. A place where it's 120 degrees in the summer, where, you know, basically soccer isn't played because you'll just basically burst into flames on the field. Bernie Sanders is like, hey, you guys are the richest per capita in the world. You've got the World Cup coming. You're spending $200 billion on this, and you give the least per capita in the world to fight ISIS.
Oh, gee, I wonder why a Muslim Brotherhood stronghold would not be fighting this so much.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
He was like, if elected, we're not going to help support any of your crap ever again. So.
Yeah. One of the things. This is a perfect transition to another Qatar story. A family of somebody who you really liked in the news, who was accused of being a terrorist, Ahmed the Clockmaker. He was accused of being a terrorist, and so after being accused of being a terrorist, he and his entire family left to Qatar to then send proxy soldiers to wage war with the United States, proving that Ahmed the Clockmaker is a terrorist. Am I being hyperbolic? Yeah, a little. They didn't send people with bullets to shoot up places in America. But they are suing a small town in America for more money than it has, trying to bankrupt it and terrorize the people with endless or possibly just hellish amounts of litigation. $15 million, which is not a number that most towns in America have sitting in their desk drawers. So I'm a little miffed because, you know, we were told, oh, this kid has, you know, such a cool story out of this, blah, blah, blah. He got to meet the president, blah, 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 blah. Isn't that cool? And then for the whole family to F off to Qatar and now wage, financial litigious war on America is just trench coat at my school after Columbine, who was detained for 2 hours after the cops searched his car and sound squirt guns. He didn't get to meet the president, so I don't think Ahmed Mohammed and his extremist family living in the terrorist capital of the Sunni world should get $1 of American money. So, sorry.
Can you hear me? You keep cutting out.
Yes, I can hear. Gosh, I hope that recorded. That was a good rant.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. I'll check the audio on the recording. Maybe it got it on the Google site, but I mean, you fully cut out like your full volume, and then you cut out. I mean, I got the gist of it, but yeah, I mean, I said this was coming. As soon as they said, oh, you know, we helped this kid, and he kept saying, I'm not a terrorist, and so we arrested him for resisting arrest, even though he wasn't resisting.
It's one of those things,
you know,
now, the entire thing seems entirely suspect, just because, think about the cultural zeitgeist. Have you ever seen a clock in a case?
Yes. I have seen project clocks because I've taken engineering classes. It looked like a standard engineering class, soldering 101 clock. I've done better wiring jobs when I was his age. You know, that was the point I was making. I was coming down on his side, and I said, holy crap, this is coming. You know, this family, he's going to be set up for life because he's going to be able to sue the stupid town because, you know, they were dumb for doing this. You know, this is the way America works.
It doesn't really jive just because they did the man on the street thing where they showed Ahmed's clock to this huge number of people, and like all of them said, oh yeah, that looks like a bomb. What is that? Because outside of engineering classes, which I don't know if you know this, but you guys are not the majority of the population of the world. Engineers are not the majority of the population of the world. I know that might come as a surprise to you, saying that engineering has always been the source of your vast popularity and being tossed in the air by football teams and cheerleaders. But engineers are not the number one group of educated people on the planet. They are a minority of those, and the rest of the world only knows timers or clocks in a box or a case associated with bombs.
Right.
The world zeitgeist does not see a clock in a case and go, project clock. That's not the words that come into 99.9% of the world population. That's ridiculous.
He had an engineering teacher at the school. They should have gone to the engineering teacher and gone, hey, he said he was taking this to you to show you. What is this? The engineering teacher goes, it's project clock. He jacked up the solder. I'm going to give him a B-. Case closed. End of day. That's it. Should have taken 30 seconds. Nobody gets arrested. Town doesn't get sued.
When they were trying to figure out what it was, he wasn't telling them. That was another issue.
It's in the police report. They said, "What is it?" He says, "It's a." And they arrested him because he kept saying it's a clock. They said, "Why did you arrest him?" And he says, "He wouldn't tell me what it was. He kept saying it's a clock."
Oh, okay.
He was arrested because it was a clock.
All right, I'm getting a phone call. Just a second.
All right.
Okay, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it, in the arrest report, they arrested him because he kept insisting it was a clock. That was why he was arrested. Because he wouldn't tell them what it was. He would only tell them it was a clock. So they arrested him.
Yeah,
That was the lunacy of the whole thing. So I called this out way back. I said, this kid's going to be set for life because he did everything right, he's going to be able to sue them for false arrest, for, you know, everything he can sue them for. And it just proves that he's very American because he's learned to sue everybody. You know, that's
yeah.
The
you're not
way.
You're no longer very American when you're in Qatar. That's
yeah.
You can't say he ran off to the Sunni terrorist funding capital, the home of the rich Hamas leaders and other Muslim Brotherhood high ups. So I just instantly just go, oh, this kid's a scumbag. I mean, I'm sorry. I've had guns pointed at my head because cops are there to arrest somebody in close proximity to me, and I have a gun pointed at my face. This has happened to me 3 or 4 times in my life. This is not a crazy thing to have happened. Did he have a gun pointed at his head? Nope. I've been detained for, gosh, how long? 45 minutes while I was trying to sleep in my own home because one of my idiot roommates was caught trying to buy drugs. And cops came in and bothered me for 45 minutes. I was detained for 15 minutes. Me and my fiance were detained while cops searched my house, even though they were called for two black females fighting, my neighbors, but they came rushing into my house because the girls rushed into my yard while having their domestic dispute. So the cops then treated the area as an active crime scene and searched my house. It's just the height of bitchiness.
See, the libertarian in me has a serious beef with your third example there. I mean, you know, the first couple, you're like, okay, maybe as a roommate, you could be partners in crime. You're dealing together. Who knows? The search and seizure of property, or the ones that drive me bonkers, the parents, they seize the house of a family because their 17-year-old kid sold a pack of marijuana out of the house. You know, mom and dad got a $250,000 house. They paid off. They're hoping to retire in 3 years. And they have nothing to show for their retirement because their 17-year-old kid got their house seized by the police. As a matter of fact, this past year...
Where was that? Where did that happen?
I can't remember. That was a couple years back. Libertarian groups were all up in arms over that. But this past year, the police have seized more property than has been stolen by criminals.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I agree
that's bull, and that shouldn't be the case. My issue is the fact that when dealing with a potential violent situation, police have the right, whether or not it's enjoyable or fun or appears to be politically correct, whether or not any of those things, the police have the right and the necessity to declare the situation an active crime scene and to detain people who need to be detained, people who might be involved. I mean, here's the thing. It wasn't a bomb.
Listen.
If it was a bomb, do you know what that means? Do you know, like, the process in locking down an area with a potential bomb? Do you know
yeah.
the process?
Yeah, definitely.
You definitely know the process. Okay, all right. Well, then you know it's a situation where you need to isolate the device to make sure there's no triggering elements, high level radio frequencies, cell phones, stuff like that. The potential trigger person needs to be isolated until you can figure out what it is. And yes, these cops might not have been the smartest engineers on the planet, but they see a box with a timer and wires in it.
And people are like, well, there's no payload. Shut up. They're not engineers. They're not engineers. They're not engineers. They're cops. They're not, unless they are the bomb squad, unless the first cops to come out were the bomb squad and could look at it and go, there's no payload, then that's silly. That's a silly thing to say. And, of course, the people saying that are not engineers. They're like news talking heads who just want to make some small town in Texas look like a bunch of dumb yokels. So they go, oh, yes, well, there was no payload. There was no payload. And it's like, you don't know what a payload is. Shut up. So I don't know.
Is the kid suing for $15 million? That doesn't mean he's going to get $15 million. That doesn't mean that, you know, that he's going to get anything near that. You know, chances are it's going to be, you know, settled out of court, or it's going to be a, you know, held up in the courts until the kid's old enough to, you know, have kids of his own that are going to go through who knows what else, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a grill. I don't know.
It's like that one family in Texas that had a lawsuit that they needed to keep their kids out of the school system because the rapture was coming soon. they just finally settled the case. I think it's 12 years later. Like, you know, the kid that was involved in the case is now like 22. Like,
and he done real good at his Englishing and math, right?
What, Jesus came,
is that how he does?
Jesus came back and just raptured him. So they were right. The parents
okay,
were right.
Okay. All right. You know, that's the thing that, you know, one of the reasons why the rapture ticks me off, why people who focus on the rapture and focus on Revelations and their entire religion, their entire personal religion that they call Christianity is about the revelations and rapture. You know why it bothers me?
Huh.
Because actual Jesus, the guy that the religion's supposed to be about, said, don't worry about tomorrow. Like, that's actually, like, supposed to be a commandment of the founder of their faith, is don't worry about tomorrow. Like, don't worry about what you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to eat tomorrow. Just, you know, today.
He gave one commandment that he says was above all others. Love your brother as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. You're just trying to tell me that so that I don't treat you like an a-hole.
Well, now you do that anyway. But honestly, though, I think that's a good punch-out line for this week, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And honestly, wouldn't the world be a whole lot better freaking place?
I wish that could be the punch-out line, but Turkey has shot one of their neighbors out of the air as their neighbor was going to go fight ISIS. And they may have started World War III because of it, so that's unfortunately, the world's not falling by that basic, simple, ancient principle. Yes, yeah, and it is one of those things, Obama is being just the biggest 3-year-old in the kindergarten, but he's being a 3-year-old, He's saying, well, Turkey had the right to do it because, you see, even though Russia is fighting ISIS, they're only fighting ISIS because they like Assad, and we don't like Assad. We're fighting ISIS because we don't like ISIS, but we don't like Assad, who ISIS is fighting, so that's why we're only half-ass fighting ISIS. That's what he came out and basically stated. In just a real pretentious way, and I thought, that is so silly. For one thing, Obama has demanded of Israel whenever Benjamin Netanyahu does anything, he demands that Benjamin Netanyahu not do any military action, but instead do the sit down, diplomatic solution. He should be doing a diplomatic solution. Diplomatic solution. There needs to be a diplomatic solution here. So that's why Israel would, you know, ask if Hamas wanted to do a ceasefire just every few days during that conflict, which Israel abided by every ceasefire. Hamas broke every ceasefire, showing that Israel were the ones playing fair and Hamas were the ones playing dirty. Yet Obama constantly ignored that and merely demanded of Netanyahu, not Hamas, to sit down for diplomatic solutions the entire time. Now, for some reason, diplomatic solutions are completely off the table. Diplomatic solution for Syria, which would be sitting down with Assad, negotiating Assad's surrender to the United Nations under conditions that him and his cabinet would agree to, probably finding scapegoats. Basically, the way that works is kind of one of those crummy situations for everyone involved, because all the countrymen involved, because a lot of times the worst of the worst criminals will get house arrest in their comfy mansion for the rest of their life. But that means they're not running the country, and a coalition force and the interim government is running the country while the United Nations and EU helps fight the bad guys that are taking over the country, preventing a vacuum, as we saw in Hillary Clinton's Libya and post-drawdown Iraq. And instead, you have a coalition force there that, after a dictator is negotiated into his house arrest, basically, they get to, the coalition forces go in and actually deal with the bad guys. Because even though Assad is bad, he's fighting bad guys. Okay? Like, yeah, Assad right. has, it's one of those things where, why Obama thinks...
anything, power vacuums are a bad thing.
Yeah.
Power
but
vacuums
in,
are bad. We refuse to learn that lesson, though.
Well, World War II should have taught us that, because World War I was a giant power vacuum. We were just like, after we got done there, we're like, okay, there's, you know, our troops are decimated by war and disease. Bye. And all the Allied powers just bugged off, and the whole area descended into, like, horrible economic downturn, and it led to the rise of lots of crazy sects of political thought, waves of Nazi anti-Semitism anti-Gypsy, anti-other races, because, you know, it was a coalition force of a bunch of weirdos from a bunch of random places that came in, so I guess that means only Slavs are good, or only Teutonic people are good, or only whatever country I'm standing in. Only Ruthenians are good. That's an obscure reference. Look that one up. These places broke into sectarian Michigan after World War I, and of course it led to the rise of the National Socialist Workers' Party in Germany that took over half a year. So, power vacuum should be something that we're already aware of as being bad, and not something that we have to go, now, what power, what now? My point is...
creating them nonstop.
Yes. Well, and my issue, too, is why... why aren't we doing a diplomatic solution with Assad? Why aren't we saying, hey, Assad, we realize that you are fighting bad guys, so you know what? Point for you. You said, hey, why are you bugging me 5 years ago?
4 years ago, you said, why are you bugging me? Why aren't you on my side? I'm fighting Al-Qaeda. And then we funded a bunch of rebels to take you out, and they became, some of them became Al-Qaeda, some of them became ISIS. Some of them remained, you know, where we could see them, so that there would always be at least four guys that we'd go, those are the rebels that we're funding, not those other ones, I promise. And yeah, it turns out you are fighting bad guys. So that has been proven true. Therefore, you've earned a seat at the table with the United Nations to sit down and negotiate, an end of us being mad at you so that we can then go in and fight the bad guys. And, I think, you know, this is where, in that situation, you can have issue with Russia. Because in that situation, you have Russia going, no, don't sit on the table. It is good for you this not to do. Because you can just sell oil to us and be friends with Iran if you don't sit at table with them. And then we could be like, okay, now Russia, you're a jerk. But since we're not doing that first part, and Russia is fighting bad guys, I don't know what is going on and why we are just okay with funding rebels. Funding rebels is never a good idea. It's a silly idea. And it has led to ISIS. And I think I've expressed my seething, lava hot hatred for Rand Paul a few times on the podcast. But he said exactly the facts on the case. So even though I don't have any love for the guy, generally, I do love that he said, yeah, we need to fight ISIS. The first thing we need to do is stop funding them.
Yeah.
And then he broke down how we've been funding ISIS. We, the United States of America, have been funding ISIS, and we need to stop doing that. That's the first thing we need to do in order to fight them.
Well, and if you notice, gas prices have been crazy cheap right now. There's a lot of interesting things out there about how indirectly that's also funding.
Oh, indirectly, huh? That's indirectly? It has nothing to do with an oil-rich area just having somebody coming in and saying, hey, crazy Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, gas emporium, slashing prices so low it's crazy.
Well,
calm down to crazy Abu
al-Baghdadi. So you're not pumping Arab oil into...
What we've learned about the oil industry over the past few years is that it is incredibly incestuous, and it is incredibly volatile, meaning stuff that is pledged to happen. If somebody says, hey, in about 4 years, I'm going to have a pipeline that's going to be ready to start having oil coming through it and being refined. In 4 years, that's going to be the case. Well, guess what? The price of oil could go down immediately because of futures. What's the speculators will say oil futures are the reason why it's going to go down. So that being the case, a group of people getting into the oil industry that are in some cases giving away oil because it's not just currency, but it's something that they can give. Because, you know, let's say a bigger country like Turkey is trying to blow you up, you could say, hey, don't blow me up, I'll give you some oil. And so Turkey then has a bunch of oil that they didn't pay for. They just didn't spend a lot of money blowing people up instead. So they won. That oil cost them negative money because it just meant that they don't have to blow up some guys that are stealing the oil. Well, then they win, and the profit can fluctuate because of that. So, if President Obama wants to take credit for the oil, he might be taking, or the gas price is going down. Maybe you should rethink that, seeing that it's probably going down because of his ISIL trained forces over there.
I don't think any president has ever been dumb enough to claim credit for oil prices. It's not.
The Democrats are doing it for them. The Democrats are doing it for them. They're saying, "Hey, look at how it is now versus how it was then," and that's all because of President Obama. And it's like, no, it's all in spite of the Democrats. Because one of the reasons why I know this stuff about oil futures is because I remember the Democrat-run House and Senate just completely poo-pooing any more approval of oil refinement in our country, building of bigger and newer refineries in our country, back in 2007, because they kept saying over and over again, well, that's stupid because we wouldn't even see any oil being refined from it for another 5 years. And we know that 5 years from now will never, ever exist. That's really far away. And that was their mindset. It was like, hey, I'm never going to graduate from high school, man. These are the most important years of our lives. Their reasoning for not refining oil was that immature and stupid. And then when we finally did start seeing some oil refineries and some oil production happen, which, you know, not to give the Republicans too much credit, but it was after the Republicans swept in the midterm elections in 2010. After that, we started seeing some oil production and some natural gas boomage across the states. And then oil prices started going down because the industry is all interconnected, and the speculators said, hey, the price is going to go down because of the oil futures, which meant back in 2007, if they had started doing the refineries, the speculators would have said, hey, in 5 years, the prices will go down. Therefore, prices go down now. And it's so infuriating that people could be so short-sighted. You just said it's ridiculous that you don't think a president is stupid enough to take credit for the gas prices. Well, the Democrat pundits, even the smartest one, my absolute favorite, Bill Maher, is doing that, saying, hey, you know, look at the gas prices. Things are better because of Obama. And it's like, come on, man. You know Obama didn't have anything to do with that. But
no president has anything to do with actual gas prices, unless he's out there, you know, out there, what do they call it, hard-necking, what's rough-necking, right?
I don't know. I do think the only president that I think would have had anything to do with gas prices would have been President Bush, just because of Dick Cheney being his vice president, which is frustrating that gas prices went up. You're thinking, come on, man. If your dad works for the sugar company, you don't pay for sugar. You know, our country should have seen, like, hey, why is America only paying $1.05 for gas? Huh? What's with that? Here in Britain and in the rest of the world, we're paying £5 for a gallon of gas.
Yeah, that was Grandpa hit me on that one. It's like, gas used to be $1.73 a gallon back when Bush was president. I was like, nah, Grandpa, it hit $4 a gallon when Bush was president.
Yeah.
I bought a Prius back when Bush was president because the math worked out that the amount I drove made it make sense for me to buy a Prius, because I drive all over this country, which is why I'm in Toledo right now. You can hear the chainsaws working overtime.
I can't wait to hear those phones.
Okay, I'm on the phone. Okay, I'm going to have to.
Okay, all right, well, I'll call you. Text me when you're in the car. All right, bye.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Stop listening in 3, 2, 1, mark.